Impactwrestling.com.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is the new face of Impact Wrestling, Christopher Daniels.
It's me, DDP, and you're listening on the Rock of God.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you The Rack, bringing you unique perspectives about the world of professional wrestling in WWE.
La cucaracha, la cucaracha, ya no puede caminar, porque no tiene, porque le falta una patita para caminar.
And TNA.
Konnichiwa! Watashi wa Kareman desu. King of Spice desu. Kobashi Kenta. Hidaka Aikuto. Onegai shimashita.
What? Ojigana Machi. How the hell do I know what he just said? What am I, a damn international translator?
With your host, Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
Oh my god, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my god, it's Taker.
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
Let me explain how this thing works. First, you become famous, and then I'll kick your ass. But until then, let's keep it strictly professional.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Sorry about your damn luck.
You and I go hard.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack Live right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by PWMania.com and, of course, TweetAudio.com. Go to their website, check out their headphones, and buy them because, yes, they're awesome. As you notice, we're not joining you with the regular intro tonight because we have a very special guest with us. Joining us for the first time is the awesome and the very fierce Carly Perez, a.k.a. Maxine from the WWE. How are you tonight?
I'm very good. Thank you, guys.
So, I guess, well, there's a lot of stuff to ask you, and I'm not quite sure to start with, so. I guess, what got you interested in pro wrestling? I mean, were you a fan as a kid, or...?
I was a fan. But believe it or not, growing up I wanted to be a cop. I went to school for criminology. I was in a totally different field. Was with the state attorney, and then the opportunity with WWE came about. I figured at the time I was 22 years old and I didn't have much to lose. I fell in love with entertainment, and happened to, learn how to do it in the ring also. So that's pretty much what came about with WWE. It just was a total surprise to me. I just jumped in it and I didn't quite know what was going on or what was going to happen, but I just did it. And I figured that's what you got to do.
Absolutely. I mean, what was it like to go to school for criminology? I mean, that sounds like a very interesting field. I've heard a lot of things about it. I mean,
it was great. I loved mysteries, and not in a weird way, and murders, and it just always intrigued me, the human mind, why people think a certain way and what they do and why they do it. So it just was something that was always intriguing to me. And the state attorney, though, when I was there, I helped with rape cases on children, and that kind of took a toll on me over time. WWE was a little more lighthearted for a while there before that. So when I got into that, it just was a whole new life and light for me, and it kind of blew my mind in the beginning. And being a woman in it was a whole other ballgame.
Absolutely, I can imagine. I mean, speaking of that transition, when you were told you were going to be part of WWE's NXT, were you excited for the opportunity? Were you nervous? Was it kind of one of those things where it's like, oh my gosh, this is it? Or was it just kind of another day?
You know, I was trying not to have my expectations too high. I had been down at FCW for quite a while, the longest out of the group of girls, the first season that we did NXT. And, at that point in time in my mind, I felt I was as ready as I could be, although realizing I still had a lot more growing to do and learning. But I was pumped about it. I really wanted to bring something different that they didn't have from the females, at least at that moment. And that's kind of what I concentrated on with NXT.
Right. I remember you being very tough and very different. And that's what I always liked about you, was that you stood out and you weren't the same. And that was always awesome to me. So.
Well, thank you. And that's, I mean, it came to me, the best way to come off natural or real is to find something that actually is natural and real instead of trying to be somebody else. I'm not saying that I'm a raging B word all the time, but I was able to just release that energy and tension, and it just came off that way, and I enjoyed it. Actually, I liked being different. I think a lot of people are scared to be different, and then when lights are on you and cameras and you have a great fan base and they're judging you, you're just not, you're like, oh my God, can I do this? Can I not do this? You're so worried about it. But I just figured the people who like me would appreciate it. So I did it.
That's awesome. Can you kind of tell us what was it like down in FCW and kind of comment on that?
FCW was a big eye opener for me. It was an experience. You know, you end up with a family, because we are together all the time, nonstop, always training together, driving together, eating together. It's just, you know, everyone's in your business. It just becomes like literally like a family. And but at the same time, it's a family that we're pretty much told that we have to claw our way to the top against each other. And sometimes you just don't want to, you know, sometimes
right.
You actually grow to like the people you're around, and you're pretty much telling me that there's only one spot and I gotta backstab this person to get it. So, you know, there were people that stood by your side, and there were people who would watch you fall, or at least try to.
Yeah, that's always a bummer. Never a fun environment.
No, it's tough. Yeah, it's a tough one. Especially with girls, you know, and girls, we can be a 10 more cattier than men. Men will do it in the ring and hit each other a little bit, and then they get over it. Women, we hold on to grudges for a long time.
We do. We tend to be a bit underhanded as well sometimes.
Yeah. And then we don't quite realize what the problem is. We just know there's a problem, and then over time we forget about it, but it's still there.
Exactly.
So that's pretty much what happened there. I always try to avoid that situation, though.
Yeah.
I listen to myself.
Yeah, and it's never easy to avoid. But, I mean, as far as, obviously, you mentioned the family environment, and that sounds like an absolute awesome work environment. I mean, do you have some of your favorite people to work with down there, or really anywhere? I mean,
I had people... you know, I got along with Naomi really, really well. Me and her were always buddy-buddy. Down there, God, who did I... there would be, like, the same crew of people we would drive to the shows. And I got to think of, like, their new... the new names now, you know, their new work names. We had Damian Sandow and I were really close. He's hilarious. He's awesome. I think he's doing great, too. Sheamus, when he was down there, I mean, we used to ride the shows together. It's amazing to see the difference and how much people grow in that business still. And I'm very happy for the ones who get to make it and experience such a good quality that they have.
And we actually have a user submitted question. We have a chat room here, and so we have a lot of people listening, and actually a lot of your fans are listening. And user 185-04 wants to know, what do you think about WWE trying to get away from that sort of model ideal and trying to turn them more into workers? Do you see yourself coming back to the company with that, or are you ready to move on at that point?
You know, it's a tough question because I personally, in my opinion, think that WWE need to just appreciate the women more at the end of the day, whether it's a model type or not. You know, if someone has talent or can bring something to the table, then I think it should be looked at, not looked over. And that's kind of the problem these days with it. You know, I'm thankful I had a great opportunity with them. I wanted to move on and pursue other things, but I know there's a lot of good talent around there and a lot of women who would die to be in my position. I just don't want all of them to get overlooked. So everyone should at least have the chance, you know, a model or not. If they think they can pull it off, at least let them try it. If they can't, then they can move on. You just never know, right? I never knew. I never thought I would, you know, get to where I was. So you don't know.
Yeah. And obviously I kind of have to ask the elephant in the room, which is you did leave the company. And I guess what was the driving force behind that? I mean, obviously you were frustrated and you weren't happy, but were there other factors or was that just pretty much it?
I mean, over time, it starts to wear on you. You know, the company is obviously, it's a massive company, and it becomes overwhelming when you're up there and you have a million things going on and a million people telling you that you should do this or that or be like that or be like this. And I felt for myself the way I was good. You know, it might have not been amazing, but it was good, it was different, and I was okay with that. I was comfortable in my own skin, and I thought that came across, but when I would get to the back, I just felt like, probably like most people who have left the company, I didn't feel appreciated.
Right.
You know, and it's not to badmouth them or anything like that. I just felt like I could bring more to the table than what I was being allowed. And I could just see the walls getting built over top of me in each day. And finally, I just couldn't, I wasn't even planned. It was like, I'm either doing it today or I'm not doing it. So I just did it. And, you know, there's always a time when it's like, oh, what if I would have stayed a little longer? Maybe I would have gotten my chance. But you got to stick with your gut and your instincts. And my instincts told me that there was other opportunities for me in this world. And there would be other people to see what I have to offer and appreciate it. And, you know, if the time comes that we ever talk to each other again and me and WWE come to terms, and maybe it's, you know, something we can talk about. I didn't leave on a bad note, and you know, from what I know, they're okay with me and I'm okay with them. I just wanted to try something else. You know, I loved what I did, though. I loved my fans and I loved entertaining. I loved being out there. I loved Maxine. I mean, it was great. It was a good thing.
Were they receptive to your ideas? You know, because you probably feel creatively frustrated with the company. Were they receptive to hearing your ideas?
To an extent. Sometimes they would be receptive to hearing your ideas, and they would, and another time, it just, honestly, it depends. It's politics.
Right.
Come on, everybody. Everybody knows that. It's politics. It's political. There's certain people you can talk to that will just turn their head, and there's other ones that would be all over it. It just depends who you are and what your name is and how you talk and how you play the game.
Right.
And at the end of the day, that's all that really matters. And for me, I was told once or twice, you know, I'm not the best game player. I'm kind of more in your face. I say what I feel, but I felt that's what made me good at what I did. But not everybody loved it. So that almost got in my way, I think, a couple times. But I loved writing. I wrote my stuff. You know, I wrote my promos, my character development. I would constantly throw ideas, and then when they wouldn't listen to them, I would just do them. I would just do them while I was out there. What's the worst that can happen? You know, I figured if I screwed up, then I'd get in trouble. But if I did something and I didn't tell them and it came out better, what are they going to say to me?
Right.
So that's what I had to end up doing.
Right. What were some of your favorite things to do on Nunnings State? Because I know there's a lot of, you know, you were involved with, you worked with AJ for a time as well.
Mm-hmm.
What were some of your favorite things to do?
I worked with AJ. I loved working with Derek and Curtis.
Right.
I mean, I hope WWE sees the goofiness and quality in those two guys because I had so much fun. And NXT to me at the time, and, you know, not to make anyone upset or mad for the Raw and SmackDown fans, but I just felt it was awesome. It was at a peak, and it just, to me, it blew the storylines away of the other shows. And it just was entertaining, and it was new every week, and it wasn't getting old, and then they just cut us off right in the center of the middle of it, which really upset me. But, there are so many good things about NXT at that time. It was so much fun to make, and I had a lot more leeway of what I could say and what I could do, and that was great. It got to show a different side for the women, I thought, you know, and instead of the minute here, 2 minute there matches and maybe a word or here or there, and that's about it. I felt like I really got a leap on that, and even though it was an internet show, it just, to me, when I was doing it, I felt like I was on top of the world with the show. I thought it was great. I was having fun doing it, so I thought the fans would like it.
Yeah, it was a really good show. There was a lot of good. It was something different. It wasn't the typical WWE product.
Right.
And that's what it made it different and special. It was, okay, here's a different product that we're not used to seeing, and it comes across like that.
Yeah, and that was important. You know, that was important to me, and Derek and Curtis. We all wanted to make it as different as possible. You know, and develop characters that people could just hate, love, or laugh at, you know, and that was I've noticed that can be sometimes the hardest thing, is actually developing a character, especially for the females, because we're sometimes just looked at as females in the business.
Right.
But developing a character that fans or people can relate to, because that becomes, it's like a movie. You look at a character and you're like, wow, I can relate to that person. And then you understand that person more. Or, wow, I hate that person. I can't stand them. But at least you're feeling something. And that was the point NXT did differently than just than just the usual WWE show. Sometimes you didn't feel anything. You would just see a match or you would just see someone talk, but you didn't actually feel it, you know?
Right.
And I really enjoyed that part of it. We were able to do that.
Right. One of my favorites was the wedding.
The wedding.
You know, everything to do, if you think about wrestling history, it always leads up to the wrestling wedding, and it was a different spin on the wedding. I liked it. What do you think about the whole idea?
I did like it. I thought it was, it was definitely interesting. I actually ripped my dress, my stilettos, like in the middle of the fight of, I think I need Curtis in between his legs or something happened and they were all fighting and my stiletto got stuck in my little cheap fishnet dress and I almost fell flat on my face and I was like, oh my god, this would have been great. I would have instead I fell into the corner and I was like, oh, I hope no one just saw that because my entire dress was ripped from my butt on down. It was horrible. But the wedding was great. It was funny and the random drunk guy that came out, I didn't even know that was happening, and that was awesome too. That Curtis just brought out, I was trying to be serious up in the ring and not laugh, mm-hmm. while that guy was mumbling around. It was ridiculous. It was fun. That wedding was fun. And I think the Usos, when I, did the pre-tape with them, and he sneezed all over my dress, yeah, we had some funny little pre-tapes that night, too. I remember those. That was good. That was a good time.
It really was. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, that was definitely one of the highlights. I will say that.
I legit bought myself. I wear it. I bought myself a diamond ring that day. Just a full round diamond ring that I wear all the time the day of my wedding, my fake wedding in Vegas. So I bought this little, memorabilia.
Very nice.
I like that. I like that. That's some style right there.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I always remember. I always remember my fake wedding.
So, obviously, you're not here just to talk about WWE. You've got some outside projects going on, too.
Yeah.
We understand that you've landed a role in an upcoming horror film. Is there anything
you
can tell us about it?
Yeah, it's a suspense horror film. I'm extremely lucky for the first film to I landed a lead role. Julie is her name. The film's called Then the Night Comes, and we film in LA at the end of the year. It's pretty much it's a murder spree. A murder spree breaks out, and we have the sheriff suspects me, Julie, that I'm the one causing all of this. I'm the victim's daughter. My father was murdered, and pretty much what happened throughout the whole town, everyone I come in contact with ends up dead or missing, and they can't seem to find out who the killer is and discover what I'm hiding. So it's really a good suspense movie, and we have a good cast too. My brother is Mossy Ferlin, and he's actually known in The Dark Knight Rises. He was just in the recent Batman movie. He was in Soul
awesome.
Surfer. Yep, he's done some good films. And Romaine Simon, who's the director, has already directed 26 feature films.
Oh, very nice.
We have my mother, Patricia Darbo. She actually was in Mr. and Mrs. Smith, Rango, Charlie Wilson's War. I mean, it's a good cast, so I'm actually really, really, I'm extremely nervous, but I'm very excited. I'm not going to lie. it's a whole new gig for me than WWE. I wasn't expecting something like this to happen. This is what I wanted, but you just don't know when or how it's going to happen, and I'm very lucky that it did, and that I'm getting the opportunity to at least do this and see what comes about.
How did it come about? I'm just kind of curious. Did you just, did it get offered to you? Did you hear about it in an audition? Did you kind of stumble upon it?
It got, after I left the company, I started doing a lot of my own footwork, not knowing anything about this company, the movie company, the film business. It's a whole new ball game. So I was trying to learn myself to better myself on how I could do this. So I started sending out. I had a professional reel made, updated my resume, my bio, and I started sending out stuff to whoever, wherever I could possibly send it to, just to get myself out there and not just out there from WWE. But they came to me, and the director actually saw my reel, and my reel has a lot of my promos in it, but also has wrestling in it. And in the few spots I picked where I was pretty rough, pretty much screaming, pulling girls by their hair, jumping around. And they liked it. I will be doing my own stunt work in this movie. I actually have a big fight scene with my brother in this movie, and that was part of the reason that they thought I would fit it pretty well, was I was able to at least, I can pull that part off, the aggression, the fighting, the bitchiness, when
right.
It came down to that point. And that was one of the things that they liked. So in a way, that reel really helped me. And hopefully this can just lead to more stuff. It's all you really need is one thing, so
right.
I'm hoping I can pull it off.
Well, I hope you
can
too.
And I'm hoping the fans like it, too.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing it. I can't wait for it to come out now.
Well, thank you. I believe, too, I was told, you know, things changed, but I was told, because Tampa is my hometown, that we are going to be having the red carpet premiere here in Tampa, which Batista did with his most recent one here in Tampa, too. So I'm looking forward to that turnout. That should be a lot of fun, and it's because of my great fans reached out to the director, and we've gotten a great response from them. So everyone seems to be excited about it.
Yeah, it sounds like a great project, and bravo to you for getting it, and I look forward to seeing it. I don't know about Rock.
Yeah, it sounds very interesting. I can't wait to see it.
You don't have to lie. You don't sound very enthusiastic when you said that.
No, I am.
I'm going to make you watch it now just because you said it like that.
but following
watch out,
up,
Rock. She's coming for you.
Yeah, but following up on that, what do you see as your ideal movie role?
Wow. Well, I like the badass, but I want to show the other side of me that I wasn't always able to show with WWE. You know, I can be pretty goofy at times. I can be funny. I'm not overly perky, but I can play the nice girl probably. I don't know how well, but I think I can pull it off. And I would like to do a comedy. I'd like to do something a little, not that the things I did with NXT wasn't funny with Derek and them, but women weren't allowed to be, we weren't allowed to have that kind of personality, you know? And I really want to show that. You know, who's that chick? Who was that blonde girl that did the house bunny? Like, really funny. What's her name? Do you guys know what I'm talking about? She's the blonde girl, and she did house bunny, and I think she married Borat or something. That's another one.
Anna Faris, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, her.
Okay.
She's hilarious.
Yes,
I would love to do something like her, just because. Mm-hmm. I just look at her, just her face makes me laugh. Watching her facial features, and I don't know, I just would like to do something like that and loosen up a little bit. I think it would be fun.
Right, and she's one good model after, because she does the scary movies, the comedy, she's all around.
Yeah, I want to be round, you know, I'm excited for this, you know, some fight scenes, some suspense. And but I definitely would love to have a whole other side that I would like to try.
Right, you don't want to be pigeonholed.
I get the opportunity.
You don't want to be pigeonholed into one thing. You want to be able to do it
overall. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's kind of like Angelina Jolie.
Right.
You know, people think she's gorgeous, she's sexy, but she always plays the same role. Always the same thing. I've never seen her in anything but what she pulls it off. But she always plays the same thing,
right.
And I don't want to be stuck in that hole.
Right. Right. Well, after this project, do you have any further ones lined up? Have you been contacted for any more, or are you still kind of looking?
Well, the director of this one had told me 2 days ago that he actually recommended me for some other projects that he saw that were going on that he thought I would fit well in. I just did, I'm very lucky to have, a very good, PR manager in LA, which, got me with you guys, and, he's gotten me quite a few, good upcoming stuff, from magazines to jewelry lines to just all kinds of stuff. Dime Squad magazine, I'm doing, the cover and centerfold and a Q&A for them. That will come up in September. I just did the shoot for that yesterday. So, I mean, things are happening. So I'm very excited to try to take a new step out, you know, and actually see what can happen.
And I have to give props to Dime Squad. They're from my hometown, so.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I'm excited about that. I have an interview with them tomorrow, and the shoot came out good. I was happy with the pictures.
Are they going to be posted online anywhere, or? Because I don't think I live out in Utah. I don't live in Atlanta anymore, so we can't get the magazine out here. I don't think. But is there anywhere we can find
them
online?
Yeah, I'm sure they will when the September issue comes out. And if they don't, I definitely will get them to you guys. But I'll make sure that I'm sure that they will be posted.
Fantastic.
Now, going back to wrestling just 1 second, let's play Fantasy Matchmaker. What would have been your dream big one-time match? What's your dream match?
My dream match?
Yes.
I never got the chance, and I probably would have really enjoyed wrestling Beth Phoenix. I have the utmost respect for her. She was always very nice to me. She would watch my matches, I would watch hers. We both would have a lot of good things to say to each other, and I never really got the chance to go in there with her, and that would have been good. It would have been nice. I would have really enjoyed that. I think we could have done something good there.
That would have been a pretty cool match.
Yeah, I would have. It would have been. I just think about now, we would have had a lot of fun. We would have done some good stuff.
Definitely, definitely. Well, I think. Well, I don't know about you, Rock. Or do you have anything else that you'd like to ask?
No, I'm pretty good. We know you're big on social media, so you plug everyone for your Twitter and how you, because I know you interact with your fans all the time.
Yeah. You guys can. The ones who aren't following me on Twitter, you can follow me at Carly Leilani. And, my Facebook actually just got hacked recently, so there's no reason to follow me there.
And damn hackers.
Yeah, those damn hackers. They get in there every time somehow. I don't know how they do it. I, change the password, and then I change it again and switch the numbers, and somehow they just find their way in there every time. But, I'm going to keep everyone updated on Twitter, especially when I start filming this film. Lots of pictures, lots of updates. I'm going to be going to LA here probably in the next few weeks. And then it's going to take probably 3 weeks to a month to film. So I'll be there for a while. So, and I thank everybody and all the support. And I thank you guys for having me.
Well, we thank you for coming on. We appreciate your time, Carly. It was awesome
to have you
and to talk to you. So, on that note, guys, we are going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll have all the news and notes in the week and a couple recaps. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by PWMania.com and TweakedAudio.com, and we will be right back.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Has your weekly Monday Night Wrestling fix got off the air? Don't fret. All you need to do is change the channel to the WTR Raw Post Show.
I'm sorry that I came out here last week and ruined your family portrait, made out with your daughter, implied that you had sex with a bunch of fat, hairy old men, then poured beer on your unconscious body with your illegitimate bastard midget son. My bad.
Tune in every Monday night at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time as we break down everything that goes down on WWE Monday Night Raw.
What's up, Holmes? The champ is here.
Interact with us live every Monday night for the WTR Raw Post Show, 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Peace out, my brothers.
It started as a ride on the short bus.
Today on, right now on a subject of matter is, as McConnell liked to say, bitches.
For Christmas.
and it's turned into the worldwide phenomenon known as your only excuse to be home on a Saturday night.
If I can find out how to record shit on my phone while I'm in the middle of plowing, I'll just say, yay, it wasn't the CB radio.
On October 20th, the biggest milestone since the night Big Daddy Ace threw up on the air is reached.
You know, it sucks. I want to throw up, but I don't think I can. Keep in mind, well, this is all for you.
It's the 250th episode of CB Radio.
Let's look out. Do I see my shadow? Oh, look! It's 4 billion years of awesome radio!
Join us for all the weird.
The plan is that now you're getting dragged into it. You and Rob are going to come up to my place in North Carolina, and we're going to have one big drunken episode.
Whoa, we don't swing that way, dude.
Not like that.
No spooning involved.
We're all wearing shoes, jackass.
Yeah, that's what you said.
Wacky.
So, shouldn't midget porn be half off?
You know, actually, they say it's double.
Yeah, that's an exotic right there.
I'd have to argue with that, though. I'm like, well, it's only half a woman, though. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, you can fit more midgets on a screen than you can full-grown people.
And the unusual.
And apparently nudity is allowed if you're a female. So we don't want any male genitalia.
But it took me a long time to actually paint your face. That part of the cost is the role play.
Oh, right.
Batman and the Joker, I still can't get the green paint out of my snatch.
For the 250th episode of CB Radio, Saturday night, October 20th, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, we've been listening to Cigarette Butts and Bandanas with Big Daddy Ace, Sir Rockin', Subway was on, Rob Puck was on, DP was on for a little bit, William McConnell was here for a short while, then he decided to fucking... You know what? Me and Rob Puck, we're all hammered. Thank you guys for listening. Have a good night, ladies and gentlemen. Peace out, bitch asses.
You think you know me?
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. You're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
Some nights I stay up, cashing in my bad luck. Some nights I call it a draw. Some nights I wish that my lips could build a castle. Some nights I wish they'd just fall off. But I still wake up, I still see a ghost. Oh Lord, I'm still not sure what I stand for. Oh, what do I stand for? What do I stand for?
And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. What the hell is up with the music?
It's Some Nights by Fun. It's one of the top songs in the country.
Right now?
Right now.
Wow. Okay, anyway. Moving on. Welcome back to The Rack. Right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by PWMania.com, but we're also streaming there. And, of course, brought to you by TweakedAudio.com. Go to their website by clicking on the link at the top of WildTalkRadio.com. Buy their headphones, please. Also go to CassidyRiley.net. Buy his t-shirts. Limited quantities left. I think I'm done.
It's currently number 4 on the top 100 hot chart on Billboard.com.
That's... Wow. There's... Wow. Okay.
Hey, it's above Bieber.
Well, there is that. It's above Bieber. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
It's always a good thing if Bieber's being defeated. Just saying.
This is true. By the way, we would like to again extend our big thanks to Carly Perez and everybody who tended to listen. Please stick around and listen to the rest of the show because we do actually have the rest of the show. By the way, for your football fans out there, the 49ers have taken down the Seahawks 13-6 in one of the most turnover-intensive games I think I've ever watched.
It was a defensive
clusterfuck.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I think we need to talk about a little Impact.
Yeah, let's
we?
Get into a little bit of TNA Impact. Tonight was the first night since, first live show since TNA Bound for Glory. And as the preview said, tonight was the biggest Impact of the year. Did it live up to the hype? That is the question.
Yes and no. I think parts of it lived up to the hype and parts of it didn't. I mean, obviously, we were left with more questions than answers and in some cases, and I think that was a good thing.
Yeah. Well, let's get into it.
Let's get into it. Impact opens with the Aces and Eights. They now have full access to the Impact Zone, and, well, they're going to take full advantage of it. They promptly showed up, and they stormed out to the ring, six of them, including Steve from Wyoming, very excited, and, of course, Bunny Fufu. And they're without, well, the only unmasked member that we know of so far, D-Von.
Yeah, he wasn't there when they first came out, but there were more Aces and Eights that weren't in the ring. They were actually backstage on the big screen.
They were, yeah. They pointed to the screen, and, well, the leader came on, and he was speaking from the Aces and Eights clubhouse, which they really do need to get a maid. he says they beat Hogan and his own game, and they owe one man for that. Newest member of the Aces and Eights, D-Von. They toast in his honor, even though one guy was technically drinking water.
Yeah, that was, like, weird. Maybe it was vodka. I don't know. It looked like water to me.
It was moonshine. I told you they raided Stein's.
Yeah, how dare they raid Tim Stein's, you know, moonshine?
But, anyway, they give D-Von a toast, and the Aces and Eights in the ring give D-Von a nice round of applause. The video ends, and out comes D-Von in full Aces and Eights attire, minus the mask.
He's now Sergeant at Arms, or in Arms, yep. Or something like that.
Sergeant at Arms.
Yeah. That's his new role in the Aces and Eights.
Basically, he's there to kick ass and get his ass kicked.
Pretty much.
I'm sorry, what?
I said pretty much.
Yeah. D-Von, of course, grabs a mic, or actually we had a hug-it-out session. He hugged everybody in the ring, and then he gets in the mic and tells the fans to promptly shut the hell out.
You sold out. You sold out. You sold out. You sold out.
He gets the "you sold out" chant, and rather than saying, "You're goddamn right, I sold out," he says that the Aces and Eights guys have had his back since day one. They picked him up. And that, of course, the crowd are no good pieces of crap. Without Aces and Eights, D-Von wouldn't be in the Impact Zone testifying. He, of course, thanks the anonymous leader for patching him in because the Aces and Eights are the group that will, of course, destroy TNA. We've all heard this before.
We have.
He says Bubba, Sting, and Hogan asked why. He decides to address them one by one. He starts off by bringing up his past with Bubba, which includes Bubba driving D-Von's son through a table, and he calls Payback a bitch.
No, B-Och.
No, it's Payback as a bitch. Get it right.
But he said B-Och.
You can't say bitch on TV. But we can't on this network, so we're going to say it.
Okay, but he said B-Och. I'm just making it clear.
I know. D-Von then starts to address the others when Sting's music's play. Pretty much the entire TNA roster comes out, and the Aces and Eights and the roster brawl. Mass chaos erupts, and the man with the plan, the GM himself, comes out to the ring, Mr. Hulk Hogan, with a baseball bat. I see Sting still hasn't gotten it back.
It's on permanent loan to Hogan.
Oh, is it on permanent loan?
It seems that way. It seems like it's on the permanent loan to Hulk Hogan.
Was that the payment for the Hall of Fame stuff?
Might have been.
Okay. Hogan brings order back to the Impact Zone. The roster does stop Aces and Eights from running away, and Hogan tells them this isn't the way that it works. They got full access, but that means that they have to fight. Sting then grabs a microphone and challenges D-Von to a fight. Hogan asks D-Von if he's all the way in or all the way out. D-Von either has to fight Sting in the main event or go away. D-Von accepts, and the fans, of course, chant, "We want Bully." Bully was showing his displeasure because he didn't get put in the match. And they cut away and head to commercial or video package as order is restored.
Bubba wanted the match, or Bully Ray, whatever you want to call him. He really wanted into this matchup, but Hogan, no, he wanted Sting, and that's what we're getting tonight. Sting versus D-Von in your main event. And Hogan, D-Von was saying, that son of a bitch better show up, or the Aces and Eights will find him at some point.
Yeah. I was a little annoyed by this segment because I was personally a fan of the way that they did the Aces and Eights reveal at Bound for Glory, and so I was really interested to see how they were going to do this. And they kind of dropped the ball just a little bit with it.
They did. I would agree.
And so, they can always pick the ball back up. I mean, they can, next week, they can obviously readdress this and fix it. It's just, it was the standard, obviously, we're going to leave more questions than answers prerogative. And it just, I hate it when they do that, where it's, I'm going to give you an explanation, but I'm not going to say anything.
We sort of ended up back in the same place we were before Bound for Glory. We now know who D-Von's in the group, but we don't know anything more. You were expecting something big to come out of it, and right now they're in a holding pattern again.
So, well, the next pay-per-view Turning Point isn't that far away, is it?
Should be the 11th, maybe? November? I'm not 100% sure, but I'll look that up. Yeah, it just seems like, okay, you wanted something more out of the night, and we sort of got some of the stuff we've been seeing leading up to this point.
Yeah, so it was, for what it was a good opening segment. It got you interested in the rest of the show, but I was hoping for more. And we all know that D-Von is not the best on the mic, and maybe that attributed to it. And also, it could be, since they just decided to stick him in relatively recently, they may not have a plan for him.
But at the same time, the crowd was hot for it. That's one thing you gotta give them credit for. The crowd was really into this segment, and it showed.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It was over. It was completely, totally over. And so bravo to them for that, but yeah, it's just as watching it and the next progression of the story to stay interested in it, it's like, I'd like a little bit more.
Right. At this point, we got a highlight package of Jeff Hardy's win at Bound for Glory, and then we had backstage, Austin Aries was talking about, it was no surprise that they were having a big celebration, a big party for Jeff Hardy tonight. But he said, what's a party without him? And, you know, he said he might even bring some cookies to liven up the party tonight.
Now, I had to laugh because Aces and Eights put out a tweet like 5 minutes before Impact, where they said, we are here.
Mm-hmm.
And I responded to him, and I said, did you bring cookies? And then Aries pulls this shit, and I was like, yes, he's bringing the cookies.
Austin Aries is bringing the cookies back to Impact.
He's being classy.
Oh, we'll get to Austin Aries. He was the highlight of the show tonight. But anyway.
He really was. But next match up is, of course, they announced Samoa Joe versus Robbie E for the TV title, but we cut backstage where Hogan is talking to Mr. Anderson.
Anderson.
He says,
like,
next Thursday.
Like, I just have to, it's like common
you
thing.
You have to do it.
You just have to do it. Because I go back to his days in WWE and where Shawn Michaels was cutting a promo on him, he goes, Kennedy. It's like, okay, it sticks in my head. I call him Anderson. So it's like, yeah. Anyway, continue.
He says, next Thursday is Championship Thursday, and Hardy is going to defend his title whether he wants to or not, and Hogan's considering Anderson for the match. They're interrupted by the one, the only, the newly freed and recently showered Joseph Parks. He comes in and asks Hogan, and Hogan, of course, asks if he's okay. Parks says he's had enough and he needs a few minutes of private time with Hogan. They have some things they have to discuss. Hogan kicks everybody out. And they start talking.
Yeah, we should also mention that during Championship Thursday, it will be Jeff Hardy is what will defend the title against either James Storm, Mr. Anderson, or the winner of a three-way that will happen later on tonight. That was also brought up in this segment.
Bias. Bias. That's all I'm going to say before we get there. But up next is, of course, Robbie E versus Samoa Joe in a pretty good match. I mean, Joe was completely dominant.
Joe was killing the Robbies tonight, just saying.
I want to know if Joe's glare can set shit on fire, and I think we should test it on Robbie E's sweater.
Not a fan of the sweater?
You know I'm not a fan of the sweater. I'm going to find it, and I'm going to light it up.
I know.
Anyway, it was a good match. I had a nice amount of time to it. Samoa Joe picks up the win and looks completely badass doing it.
He cut a hell of a promo on during the break show with SoCal Val. He cut a hell of a promo. Joe means business. Just telling you. Joe means business.
He's back.
Just saying.
Anyway, we move backstage to Tara and her new, or her current, or whatever the hell he is, Hollywood boyfriend, Jesse Gothridge. AKA, what's his bucket?
What's his bucket? It's like, who are you? Who are you?
Pretty much. And they're in the back taking a photo shoot. Jesse has Tara over his head. He's lifting her up and down, basically doing push-ups or pull-ups or whatever. Not entirely sure which.
He was bench pressing her.
He's bench pressing? Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, I am not a gym rat. I don't...
It's okay.
I prefer to watch that kind of stuff than actually do it. Tara says that Vanessa and Kobe are getting back together, but they're still the hottest couple on the planet. They share a kiss, and then we find out that coming up after the commercial break, it's ODB versus Tara.
Oh, this match. ODB. My God.
They need to put her on TV more often. I'm sorry, they do. Her yelling at Eric Young before the match was awesome.
Not only before the match, during the match.
During the match, after the match. I love that she's walking out, don't you hang up!
Don't you hang up on me! And then she takes off her ring, puts it in her pocket, and then, you know, shoves her boobs in the face of, what's his name? Jesse or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was great. She was awesome in this match.
She was. It was highly entertaining. We had many shenanigans with Jesse, with both women. Highly competitive match. I mean, obviously, you've got two people that know what they're doing. So it was definitely a pleasure to watch.
The finish saw her take a swig from her flask, spit in the face of Jesse, and then put Tara up in the TKO for the 1-2-3. And then pink thing walked out.
She looks like a hooker. I'm sorry. She really did.
Yes, Miss Texmacher walked out and was clapping for the finish. Because next week, not only will we see a world title match, we will see the return match from Bound for Glory when Tara takes on Miss Texmacher.
Woohoo.
But yeah, this was kind of awesome. And the finish was great because she then puts the ring back onto her finger.
Picks up her phone and continues to yell at EY.
Where are you, EY? Come on now. Can't leave your woman.
EY, she needs more chicken and lovin'.
Just saying.
Get on it, man. Or at least bring her fish.
Bring her something. She deserves it. She puts up with you. Just saying.
Yeah. Just saying. Although she doesn't want to, I would happily do it. Just saying. Anyway. AJ Styles and Kurt Angle are talking in the back. We find out Angle, Daniels, and Styles are going to fight for a number one contendership for Jeff Hardy's title next week. And Styles says he doesn't mind being a tag team, but he wants to be the champion. He's ready to be the champion, and he hopes that Kurt understands. And Kurt does, and Styles says, well, then they're ready, and he'll see him out there. And Kurt says, yes, you will.
Something's up between these two.
Just saying. They come back from commercial. Aces and Eights are, of course, talking outside. And then we have a video package for the Triple Threat Tag Team match in which, sadly, your World Tag Team Champions of the World were defeated by Chavo Guerrero and Hernandez in a sham.
It was rigged. They were robbed. It was a screw job. It was hashtag Arizona screw job. Just saying.
TNA's biased. They're conspiring against our world team, former World Tag Team Champions of the World. But fear not, because Christopher Daniels has it covered. He's going to get on it. If you saw him in the post-show tonight, he was epic. But before we can get to the former World Tag Team Champions of the World, we have to deal with the current Tag Team Champions of the World.
No. They're just World Tag Team Champions. They're not calling them Tag Team Champions of the World. They're just Tag Team Champions.
Sorry. Tag Team Champions. There we go.
Just get it right. Cause, you know.
I'm sorry. I'm used to saying it in a certain order now.
I know. You can only say World Tag Team Champions of the World for the World Tag Team Champions of the World. Everyone else is just a Tag Team Champion.
Okay. My bad. I will get it right.
Anyway, this match.
Anyway, you saw your Tag Team Champions, Chavo Guerrero and Hernandez, take on Kid Cash and Gunner in a non-title match. The match was good. Kind of really didn't pay attention.
It's this Chavo thing. I can't get into it. I don't know. I just can't get into it when he's on my screen. It's just, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, for what I paid attention to, it was a good match. It was competitive, but it just didn't do anything for me. I'm not really a Kid Cash fan. I'm kind of a Gunner fan when they use him right. And as far as Chavo and Hernandez, it's just kind of like, eh. Right. I was really excited when Chavo first premiered, and then they just started doing the whole Guerrero thing, which we've complained about multiple times. I'm not going to get into it again. And it just kind of turned me off a little bit.
So Cash and got us backstage in this thing that he wants. Because, huh? I did mention it. Letting him team with him. You know, Devon back of his hand, the nasty place thing in the main event. Hogan said he thought he knew Devon, but Hogan said Reyes is one of the men who will be considered for a title shot next week. But, you know, he didn't know him as well as he thought. Ray told Hogan that he needs to start trusting him more, and then he walked away. Sting went after him. Hogan told Sting that, you know, you need to fix this situation, and Sting said he would.
Yeah. It was a nice segment, and it was great to see Joseph Park say that. I will say this. Wait till open fight night, dude, and then make the challenge. It'll be fine.
There you go.
That's what really should have happened, is you have Park say, you know, you could have just had Hogan say, you know, Park say, I really want one of the aces and eights. I really want to kick one of their ass. And Hogan say, well, I can't give them to you now, but save it for open fight night.
Which is in a couple weeks, I believe.
Yeah.
So, what they weren't doing well with the aces and the eights, they were doing well with Bully Ray tonight.
Yeah, Bully Ray was definitely one of the standouts tonight. He was playing his part very well, which is the distressed, pissed off family member.
Right.
Devon, and it's, I want Mike to get my hands on him, let me have him, and they're not letting him, and that frustration was showing through.
Right, and it's good. I'm glad they're doing something. They're not leaving that alone. They're at least focusing on that part, which they should.
Yes, which was awesome. We move on where we show, where we see the Hardy video package again, and of course we move on to the Jeff Hardy title celebration. Yay.
Okay, Jeff, stop fucking up the title. Please, just stop fucking up the title.
At least this one is better looking than that purple monstrosity he had when he first won it.
I guess, but yeah.
But it is a little egotistical to stick your own face on the title belt.
He is the chosen one. He gets his title. Well, can't say that. That's Jeff Jarrett. He is the something or other of TNA, and he gets what he wants, and they give him belts. So.
But anyway, yes, Hardy comes out, They spray confetti everywhere to the point that it's blinding, and Hardy pulls out his custom-made belt with his face on it. And Hardy basically talks about how it's good to be back in the impact zone and how they did it. And he, of course, thanks the creatures, which are still takers.
Thank the creatures of the night.
And Hardy says he can't wait until next week when he defends his title in Orlando. This brings out the man of the night, Austin Aries, singing Celebration.
That was fantastic. I'm just pointing that out. Him coming out singing Celebration made me laugh. And he came out with cookies and balloons. It made it perfect. Perfect.
And this went over, yes, and this went over way better than the last time TNA got cookies and balloons for somebody else.
Just saying.
Just saying. This prompted a We Want Cookies chant. Aries says that he won't take anything away from Hardy or what he did. Aries said his feat was superhuman and that no one else in the company could beat Austin Aries at a pay-per-view. Hardy tries to take the balloons after Aries offers them to him, and Aries lets them go and they fly up into the ceiling. Then Aries, of course, being the gentleman that he is, offers Hardy a cookie, and Hardy, being the jerk that he is, slaps them away.
He doesn't eat cookies. Jeff Hardy doesn't. And, well, Austin Aries made fun of the fact that, you know, I can see why you don't want to mess up your girlish figure.
Well, if he doesn't want to eat the cookies, that doesn't mean he has to slap them away and waste them. I mean, those were looking good-looking cookies. He could have shared them.
He could have, but no. Could have shared them with the creatures, but no, he slaps them away.
Such a waste of cookies.
Who wastes cookies around here? I know I don't. I know you don't.
I don't. Yes, I don't. I don't believe in that kind of thing. It's criminal.
It's a shame. It really is a crime. Don't waste cookies. If you learn anything from this show, don't waste cookies.
Or we will come find you.
Yes. Yes, we will.
Anyway, Hardy says that winning the title was only the beginning of the battle. Now Hardy is a man with his target on his back. Aries says that not everybody can handle that pressure, and some people crumble. The fans chant for Hardy, and Aries asks where they were when they were in Phoenix, because everybody in Arizona was chanting for Aries.
Oh, and then they start chanting his name. Like, they're trained.
They're such good trained seals.
Yes, they are. They really are.
Aries brings up his rematch clause. He says that he's going to wait for Hardy to crumble before he turns that in. He then, of course, mocks the belt, which... I love in this recap, it says, which deserves mocking. Aries says that it's a representation of everything Hardy is and spits on the title. Hardy then clubs Aries across the head and tries to twist a fate. Aries squirms away as Sinead and Taz accuse Aries of being egotistical, to which I respond and say, it's not egotistical, it's confident. Don't confuse the two.
Exactly.
Anyway, this really was, at least on Aries' end.
Aries was fantastic. He was really good tonight. He's really getting back into that heelish type role. And it was fantastic to watch tonight. I really much enjoyed Austin Aries' performance, and I want to see him fight Jeff Hardy again. This time I actually want to see the fight, because I want to see Aries win.
Yeah, I told Rock after this segment was over, I already miss Aries as the champion. He was just too good.
And now, if he gets it back as a heel, he'll be even better, because now he'll actually have a defined role.
Yes, which will be awesome. So hopefully we will see him regain it at some point soon, please God. Anyway, we move backstage to yet another confident, devilishly handsome man. The face of Impact Wrestling, Christopher Daniels, is walking backstage, of course, with his Apple Teeny, which, if you want the recipe for, go to the archives and listen to the Rack last week where he was on and he gave us the recipe. Exclusive. Because we're that awesome.
It's a worldwide exclusive, just saying.
Yeah. He says it looks a lot bad because he lost the tag team titles, and now he has to wrestle AJ and Kurt Angle. But not to fear, that the heroes will conquer, and they will come through. the Happletini is, of course, always half full, and he's going to beat Kurt and AJ tonight.
I like how he says, God, that tastes good.
Yes. I love you, Christopher Daniels.
Yeah. Up next, three-way dance. The winner gets into one of the slots next week in Championship Thursday. AJ Styles, Christopher Daniels, and Kurt Angle.
This had to be match of the night.
Without question. And they didn't get enough time. They could have got more time, it would have been even better. It was a good match, not great, it was good. These three, you throw these three in the ring and, you know, you expect good things no matter what.
It's a no-brainer.
It really is. Styles was looking to go after Kurt Angle, but did a flip and landed on Daniels on the outside, threw him back in the ring. Styles gets knocked off the apron. Angle hits the angle slam on Daniels, gets the 1-2-3, and AJ Styles was not a happy camper after the match.
No, he was kind of throwing a little bit of a temper tantrum. Just a little bit.
Yeah, Angle offered his hand, Styles said no and walked away, got some booze. So, we'll see what happens.
Should be interesting. It's a tag team breakup, so we'll see if, they feud with each other. But your winner is, of course, Kurt Angle, and he moves on. He joins Mr. Anderson, James Storm, and Bully Ray, who will all be in the deliberations next week to determine the number one contender for Hardy's title. Next up is, of course, Mr. Sleazeball himself, Joey Ryan. He's in the back. He shakes hands with Hulk Hogan. Matt Morgan's also with him. Hogan wants Ryan to take the 87% and make it 97%. And then Hogan, of course, asks Morgan why he ruined the biggest pay-per-view of the year, which he really didn't. Hogan brings up the first interview Hogan made in Impact Wrestling, where Hogan said he would make Matt Morgan a household name. Hogan says he's been on Team Morgan, but Morgan hasn't delivered the goods. Morgan, calling Hogan Terry, pounds the wall and says he's going to shove all the complaints about him up Hogan's ass. Morgan leaves and Hogan smiles.
They brought up how that, you know, Hogan was in creative meetings and say one giant one week and then one week he wasn't. You know, about one week he had charisma, the other week he didn't. He lacked it here, lacked it there. You know, some of his promos were good, some of them were bad. They brought up some really real things in that promo.
Yeah, they did. Which was nice to see. One thing I have to say that I like about TNA versus WWE is TNA has a realism to their product.
Right.
That I enjoy seeing.
By the way, Hogan looked more nervous with Matt Morgan than he did with the Aces and Eights in 4 months.
Yeah, he kind of did, but then Morgan's a big dude.
This is true, and then he gets this sinister laugh as Morgan walked away. He likes the fire and intensity.
Oh dear. Can make a comment, but I'll be good. Anyway.
Oh, now you decide to play good. I see how it is. Now you just want to play good. Okay.
People's temper buttons get hit. If we talk about that kind of thing. So we won't talk about or joke about that kind of thing. Anyway, up next is, of course, the love of my life, my future ex-husband, James Storm. And he's looking good. They show us, of course, the retrospective of one of the matches of the night from Bound for Glory, Bobby Roode versus James Storm in a street fight. We'll call it an Arizona street fight just for shits and grins. Storm comes out and he says what goes around comes around. And he mentions that this year has been a journey and it's a long one. And now it's over. He talks about how he became World Heavyweight Champion last year, and this year he bled buckets of blood and vanquished Bobby Roode. Storm said he also made a bucket list.
And what was on this bucket list?
Which it was kind of epic. Number 10 on James Storm's bucket list. Beating Bobby Roode. Check. 9-2. Drink beer, to which he promptly pulls a beer out of his pocket and says, check. And of course, the number one to win back is to win back the World Heavyweight Championship. He says he's one of four guys that gets to compete for the title, and he starts talking to Hogan, but, well, Bobby Roode cuts him off, my other future ex-husband. Personally, as far as Storm's bucket list goes, I figured, you know, get laid and see the Titans when the Super Bowl would have been in there. Just.
But he likes his beer. He's the beer drinker. He likes his beer. There wasn't enough room for the Titans winning the Super Bowl. And if you think about it realistically, better off drinking the beer.
This is true. Anyway, Bobby Roode is out and limping ain't easy. He was selling it.
Sold it like a champ.
He gets on the mic and he says that they made good on a promise. They promised the world that they'd give them everything they had, and they did that, and I will agree. He calls their match on Sunday one of the bloodiest battles in the history of wrestling. I don't know about that. Storm asks for a chair and says it'd be a lot easier for Bobby to sit down while he kisses Storm's ass. Which was a great line.
It was.
Roode gets angry and says Storm should be kissing his ass because Storm's victory made him relevant. Without Roode, Storm would have never become world champion. He never would have been a tag team champion. Never would have done anything. Roode was the backbone of Beer Money, and he made Storm everything that he is today. And Roode also adds injury to insult and says that he will also always be the better man. To which I say, well, if you're going to be the better man, then Storm will always have the prettier hair.
And Storm considered this for a second, and then, well...
Nope!
Took a kick right to the face, and down went Bobby Roode.
Yes, so Bobby Roode was left laying, and of course Storm cuts his signature, sorry about your damn luck, and we move on. They show Devon warming up backstage, Sting is walking, and the main event is next.
Yes, we had Sting versus Devon. Alright, one thing that bugged me.
Okay.
Just looking at Sting wrestling. His gear. I don't know. Watching him wrestle in that gear, it's like, that's not Sting. It just looked awkward.
Actually, from the back, he looked like Taker without the tattoos.
He didn't look like the Sting I remembered. And we've seen this 1,000 times with him, but it's like, I don't know, something seemed off with it. It might have been the pink. I don't know, it just looked weird. Watching it,
yeah.
Like, his look doesn't fit to what wrestlers are looking like now. Just to get up, it just seemed, okay, you have black in the back, and it's just like, okay, it looked awkward.
Well, the black.
I get the whole black. It just looked.
It looked off.
It looked, yeah, something looked off with him wrestling that. I don't know, it just might be me, but I don't know, it looked off to me. It might have been the pink, and it needed something more, and how his boots were, I don't know. Like, their boots were underneath the tights, I don't know.
Sting made a fashion faux pas and wrote it, Rock didn't like it.
No, I didn't. It just seemed off, and then, okay, he can't work long matches either because his hair gets all messy, and,
Notice he's the one mentioning all this.
You see the bald spot. Like, towards the end when he was putting on the Scorpion Deathlock, they were doing everything they could to not show it, because his hair was all out, and you saw the big bald spot in the back of his head.
Oh dear. So sad.
It really was. And, like, you see it a little bit when his hair's normal, but when he was doing the Scorpion, you just, like, saw it, and it was, it just made me sad.
There's some glare coming off of Sting's head.
A little bit.
Just a little bit?
Just a little bit. Yeah, it wasn't good. It wasn't pretty. They quickly try to keep going off the camera angle, but you just couldn't. Anyway, about the match, it was okay.
Yeah, for what it was good. I mean, no offense to Sting at all. He can still go. He just can't go like he used to. And that's... I think it could have been better if he was younger. Because we all know D-Von can work.
Right.
And it's just, you know, he was doing what he could, and you could tell that they were kind of sort of feeling each other out and doing what they could. It could have been a better match if this had been Sting from 10 years ago.
Yeah.
But
these two just, they don't have the chemistry you would think the two would have. But that's okay.
You know, I mean, I get they're trying to save Bully versus D-Von if it's going to happen for another time, but it's, right now it's just, yeah. They could have stuck Bully in and it would have been fine. Probably would have been better.
Probably would have been better, but I understand them waiting, and that's smart. They need to wait.
Yeah. But the match overall itself, it was good-ish. It, you know, had nice competition in it. We see the ending where Sting is essentially kicking D-Von's ass. He's got him in the Scorpion Deathlock, and D-Von is trying to crawl to get to the ropes, but Sting keeps him away from the ropes, trying to get D-Von to tap. And, of course, well, the Aces and Eights come out. They interfere and attack Sting, forcing a DQ, allowing him to win. Then, of course, the locker room empties out, and the show ends similarly to the way that it began, with a massive brawl, everybody fighting everybody else.
Until Bully Ray runs out with that baseball bat.
Bully Ray stole Hogan's baseball bat. He ran out and chased Aces and Eights away. And that's where we see the program ending, with Bully Ray chasing Aces and Eights and half the locker room chasing Bully Ray, going, no, 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 Bully, no.
No, no, don't go anywhere. Yeah. So, this show, I expected more, honestly.
I did, too. I was really hoping, the way that Bound for Glory was, if you saw Bound for Glory, you either really liked it, you really hated it, there aren't a lot of in-betweens. I'm one of the ones that really liked the way that they did Bound for Glory, and I was hoping that they would carry what they did into this Impact, just because they did a lot of things that made you want to watch this Impact. And it just wasn't what I was expecting, and maybe it was I had my expectations up too high.
Here's the big thing that stood out to me. We didn't get anything new out of this show. There was no new direction for anyone on the show. You got D-Von as the heel, as the sergeant in arms for Ace and Saints. Okay, his role's now established. He's not the leader. He's just one of the men. But he's high up in the thing. We still have to reveal who the vice president and the president are of the group. But they go back to Bobby Roode and James Storm. They cut a promo together. Okay, they're great together, but we saw the blow off, and we shouldn't have seen them together. They have no new real direction. Okay, next week it's open. It's Championship Thursday, and they're going to have their spots and yada yada yada. It just, I don't know. It felt there was no big angle going. Okay, boom. Here we go. Here's our next feud. Okay, we're getting Austin Aries and Jeff Hardy again. I don't know. It just seemed like we didn't get a new beginning to anything. We're still continuing with the Aces and Eights. We didn't start anything new. There was no new direction to give it tonight.
Right. There was no forward motion. It was very much put to the side.
Right. I don't know. You expected more from. I expected more from this show tonight, and it was a decent show. I'm not going to say it was a bad show. It was decent.
Yeah, I mean, you can't.
The wrestling was good. It was good. It flowed well. Yes, the matches were fine. It just didn't go anywhere.
Yeah, the one thing that we can't fault TNA for is the fact that the wrestling is always good.
And
usually,
right. And out of everything tonight, Tim Stein watched the entire show.
Ooh, wow.
So, you know, Tim watched the show, which means on Sunday they may talk 5 minutes about TNA because he actually watched the show.
Wow, I'm impressed. We're not alone.
We weren't the only ones. We weren't the only ones watching the show. Tim Stein watched the show. When you know it's a big deal when Tim watches the show.
We're going to keep harping on that. But yeah, I'm hoping that this next week they move forward and they start to put the storylines in motion for the next pay-per-view, because they don't have the same amount of time that they really had for Bound for Glory. It's you did the blow off on a bunch of your feuds at Bound for Glory, so now you need to move forward.
Right, and then they got until November 11th, which is the pay-per-view.
Right.
Turning point.
But speaking of Bound for Glory...
Yes.
Obviously, if you listen to Wild Talk, WrestleTalk Radio.
WrestleTalk Radio on Sunday night, you heard some of our thoughts on the program. We recapped it in full detail.
Yes. Thank you. Because I can't talk. I'm a bad host.
No, stop that. Anyway, so I'll take over then. What did you think of the show? Like, what was the best match for you? What was the worst match?
The high point for me was obviously Storm versus Rude.
I think everyone can pretty much say that was the match.
I mean, Aries Hardy was good, but it was kind of tainted by the finish because obviously I'm not a Hardy fan. But the match itself was fine. Storm versus Rude, to me, it started out with, you know, and we all commented on it, how it started out very civilized, and then it started to kind of sort of deteriorate, and it builds into this really fever pitch of a match, where it's they're beating each other with trash cans and chairs and kendo sticks, and then they break out the fucking thumbtacks. And these are two guys that you don't think would use thumbtacks.
No.
And that was the big thing of that match, is just some of the stuff that got used. And it did. It turned into what would be considered today a more modern-day street fight. Full-blown, more modern-day street fight, complete with blood, violence, you name it. And it was a great match, and they told a wonderful story in it. And as far as, you know, redemption stories go, Storm finally beating Bobby Roode, that was a great payoff. It was a payoff we were all expecting, but that's what made it great, is they went with what they should have.
Right.
Another high point was when Joseph Park broke free from the handcuffs and chased one of the Aces and Eights out of the building. That was awesome.
It was. It really was. What was the low point for you?
Honestly, I guess Hardy winning the title.
Okay.
I mean, I knew it was coming, so it wasn't really any surprise, but it was just like, oh, God, why? And no offense to Jeff Hardy fans out there. I mean, please, if you want to tweet me, you can tweet me at Lens Ward and complain at me all you want, but I mean, as far as Hardy goes, it's just kind of like, why? You know, it's, well, I understand why, but it's, why not have Aries beat Hardy at the big show?
Yeah, I got it. It was one of those things where no one wanted it really to see it, but it happened.
But it happened. I mean, it's more, if you really wanted to do it and you really wanted to build Hardy's redemption story, which they kind of just threw in there at the last minute, you have Aries beat Hardy at Bound for Glory and say, ha, I really am better than you. And Hardy says, oh, no, you're not, and continues to chase Aries, and it gets a little bit more personal, and there's more angst put into it, and then you potentially have Hardy win at Turning Point or another pay-per-view. I mean, you could potentially build a feud out of this, which they're going to do.
Right.
It's just you keep the belt. Hardy now has the belt as opposed to Aries, who's going to chase.
Yeah, for me, the low point was Al Snow and Joey Ryan. I can't get into the sleaze. I'm not one of the 87% or something. I'm sorry. I can't get into him. He's not my cup of tea. I don't know. I don't like the gimmick. I know he's done some great things in PWG and every other place he's been. It's just, I can't get into it. I'm sorry. I can't. For a high point, yeah, like you said, Bobby Roode, James Storm, awesome. RVD winning, though, was a surprise to me. I thought, I think I even picked Zima to win, maybe. But anyway, RVD winning, that's kind of surprising.
It wasn't. I mean, it was kind of one of those things that when you heard RVD versus Zima Ion, it was kind of automatic, okay, the belt's going on RVD.
Right, and at the same time you're going, why is he holding the belt? I don't know. It just seems odd to have him holding the X Division title. Seems too low down on the totem pole for RVD. But maybe that's where he is at this point in his career. He's maybe that low at this point.
It brings some credibility to it. You can have Zima chase. Because, I mean, if you really think about the X Division, it looked like they were making steps to rebuild it. And then they just never followed through on it. And really, if you look at their X Division right now, it's Rob Van Dam and Zima Ion. And that's pretty much it, because you had Zima Ion take out what was left of the X Division in Dakota Darso, Jesse Sorensen, and
Kenny King.
So it gives Zima somebody to feud with, and also Sanjay Dutt. So it gives Zima somebody to feud with.
Right, and it could work. I don't know. I was a little bit shocked that he actually has it.
Yeah.
But we'll see where they go with it. We didn't see anything tonight, but hopefully we will see something down the line where they do something with RVD as the X Division champion.
But yes, so here's hoping that they move forward to Turning Point.
Yes, that's the next pay-per-view. But I think we should go to break. But before we do, we should tell people, since we haven't told them and it's already 90 minutes into the show, what is our question of the night?
Yeah, we kind of forgot that, didn't we? Since I guess we can call tonight Ladies' Night, as we had the lovely Carly Perez on with us earlier in the show. The question of the night is as follows. Who is the top female of 2012? And we're going to get into that a little bit later, as I'm sure everybody knows, PWI released their top 50s female list, so we're going to kind of run through it real quick and see what we agree with and we don't agree with. But we've also got our Tweet of the Week, SmackDown Look Ahead, and a couple of discussions as well as news and notes. So stay tuned and listen in. And you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com.
By the way, we're going to get this all done in 35 minutes.
No, we're not. and we will be right back.
For this election year, Jed and myself have decided that you should ignore all the other candidates and instead vote for the two people who will actually bring change to this country. Not only will we bring change, we're bringing hashtags with us, starting with hashtag BS2012.
Boobies.
Hashtag Thin the Herd.
Boobies.
Hashtag Smash the Snow Globe.
Boobies.
Wait, are you guys talking about my boobies again?
Boobies!
Damn it, Jed, you blew our cover!
I meant babies!
Sure you did.
In this election year, vote Mary Schaefer 2012 and hear us every Wednesday night on Just Another Goddamn Wrestling Show, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, 7:30 Central, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Boobies!
Hey, you.
Yes, you listening to WTR. You got an iPod, MP3 player, or some kind of Android device? Well, then why don't you go and get Tweaked? Tweaked Audio is high-performance, noise-reducing earbuds for simply awesome audio. There's four styles and six colors to choose from, so Tweaked Audio has a pair for everyone. You'll love the intense sound of all the Tweaked Audio products. They guarantee it. In fact, you get a lifetime limited warranty with all the shit they sell. Designed to sound great for music and talk, engineered for durability. Get your buds in red, blue, green, black, silver, or wood. Okay, that's not really a color, but they look pretty sweet. Four styles to choose from. Tweaked California, Tweaked Classic, Tweaked Parkour, and tweaked natural. Tweaked audio earbuds retail from $19.95 to $34.95, but they're giving WTR listeners a deal because Wild Talk Radio rules and our fans rock. Just use the special code WILDTALK or WTR. Get your buds starting at only $12.95. Head on over to tweakedaudio.com. Grab a pair. Get tweaked. Tweaked Audio.
Tuesday nights, the Wild Talk Radio Network brings you Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with me, Alan Wojcik, and the Spud Guy. We'll bring you interviews with the biggest names from the past, present, and future in pro wrestling.
Hey everybody, this is Ed Buck. It's me. It's that D-O-double-G.
This is Jessica Havoc.
Hey everyone, this is Stevie Richards.
This is Harley Race.
The franchise Shane Douglas.
Plus, insights from the people who cover the business. It's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, 9 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is Jessica Havoc, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
Oh, sometimes I get a good feeling, yeah. Get a good feeling, yeah. Oh, sometimes I get a good feeling, yeah.
I'm running with this plan. Pull me, grab me, grab me, and the fuck you can't have me. I'll be the president one day, January 1st. Oh, you like that gossip? Like you the one thinking what gossip.com. Now I got a word for your tongue. How many
words
you want?
And welcome back to the Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by PWMania.com and TweakedAudio.com. Click on the banner up at the top at Wild Talk Radio and go to their website, buy their headphones. If you put in the promo code WILDTALK, you'll get about $7 off, which...
You can't.
Ain't bad.
You really can't beat that price. $7 off, $20 headphones, $12.95 if you use the promo code.
Yeah.
That's pretty sweet.
Cheaper than you can get nice ones at Target, so.
Yeah.
And free shipping worldwide. So go get tweaked, please. So, if you're just joining us, you mixed, of course, the lovely Carly Perez, aka Maxine from WWE, in an interview. And, of course, our TNA Impact review. But now, we're going to go to one of our most favorite segments on this show. We're going to Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
I love that song.
Nothing wrong with it.
So do you want to go first?
No, you can go first for a change. Switch all things
right
up, let you go first.
Aw.
Ladies first.
Because it's ladies' night, and if we had thought of this sooner, we would have promoted it.
It's impromptu ladies' night.
It's impromptu ladies' night. Drinks are half off. Go to Tim Sine's bathroom and you'll get them for free. What? He makes bathtub hooch!
I know.
Damn it, if Aces and Ace can rate it, why can't anybody else?
This is true. This is very true.
So, speaking of rating, I am rating AJ Lee's Twitter. And I have a bunch.
Okay.
So, first one is, I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure Primo's still my pro. To which somebody responds, could you summon him in a time of need like he was a Zord? And AJ responds, Vicky and Primo combined to make a Megazord.
Yeah.
She also tweets, I just pushed my glasses up, but I wasn't wearing my glasses. So I just violently stabbed myself in the eye. Hashtag doodle life. That's all I got.
Okay. One from... Yeah, we'll go with AJ's Twitter still. She retweeted something. Random AJ fact. She is a win over the current tag team champions, Kane and Daniel Bryan. She is technically undefeated against them. So does... Then she replied to that one. Does that make me the tag team champions?
Yes. Yes, it does. I actually want to see that argument now. I am the tag team champions. No, I am the tag team champions. No! I am the tag team champions!
Yeah.
And she steals one of their belts and she walks off with it.
And one CM Punk posted today, if you see me today, try to hit me with your car. It's part of my training.
I love you, Punk.
So yeah, that's all I got. It was a quiet Twitter week.
Yeah, they were kind of sort of not too terribly entertaining, but we got by.
We got by. It happens.
But now we're going to switch things up and kind of get to the news and notes of the week.
Yeah, there's some news, notes, and other odds and ends this week. And one, there's a big title change to start off the show.
There is. It's technically not spoilers since it's now aired. Kofi Kingston is your new Intercontinental Champion. He defeated The Miz last night on Main Event. None of us saw it, sadly, but...
Actually, I watched it this afternoon. Really,
oh, did you?
It was a really good match. They gave it a lot of time, which they do for Main Event. And I love how they build things up on that show with the promo packages in the beginning. They really put over Kofi. God, it was amazing. It was weird and amazing at the same time how The Miz has evolved as a character in the last few years. It was really good. I enjoyed the match. They told a good story. I was impressed by that match.
I heard they got praised for it really well.
As they should. It was really good. See, that's the thing with Main Event. You get two matches, and they give them time, especially the real one Main Event time. They give the Main Event at least 20 minutes, so you're guaranteed. It's not a big story show. It's a wrestling show. You get a big 120-plus minute match, and they deliver. Props to Kofi and Miz. So, yes.
Go them.
So, yes, Kofi is your new Intercontinental Champion.
Woohoo!
The beast has been unleashed or something like that.
I don't know, but...
Something like that he said. I can't remember the exact phrasing. But he said the beast is back or something.
Well, let's hope he doesn't get high. Like the WWE, who are getting stoned.
Wait, they're getting stoned?
Not that kind of stoned. WWE is promoting and producing... The Rolling Stones next, I guess, pay-per-view event?
They're having a live pay-per-view concert. Which is kind of cool if you think about it. WWE is teaming up with the Rolling Stones. Next time maybe they'll team up with a group that's current. But it's still the Rolling Stones, which is a classic band, and that's kind of awesome. They're promoting a concert in, I believe, December?
Yes. And I'm sorry, the gorilla in the promo is really creepy looking. I know the lips with the tongue is Rolling Stones emblem, but yeah, it just, no. No.
Alright.
But yeah, so good on WWE for branching out like that. Definitely, it's awesome.
Yeah, and it's something the company does. That's what they do. They promote, they're a live pay-per-view production company. They do live events and they do pay-per-view, and that's what they do well. Doesn't mean always the content's great, but they could produce it well.
Yes. Definitely. And then, of course, there's a... Well, for once, we're going to talk a little indie news.
Indie news?
Indie news. For those of you who haven't been following the indies or don't follow this, go to YouTube, check it out. The Best of Seven series between Colt Cabana and Adam Pearce is wrapping up. Yes, they are tied 3-3 right now, and they are moving into the final match, which will be a steel cage match, taking place in none other than Melbourne, Australia, which is kind of awesome. In a week, it takes place on October 27th at... Does it say where?
I can't remember where. I kind of can't remember. I just don't know it's in Melbourne, Australia. We'll have more information because...
Well, we're going to have more information because next week we're going to have Mr. Scrap Iron himself. That's right. Adam Pierce is joining the program, and we're going to interview him all about the seven levels of hate and a whole bunch of other stuff. So tune in and listen to that.
Yes. If you have questions for Adam Pierce, which he is a great interview, he's been on Just Another Goddamn Mouse Show before and also on Kayfabe, he will be on The Rack next week. But if you have questions for him, tweet us at Wild Talk Radio. It's one of his final interviews as he prepares for this final match between himself and Colt Cabana in Melbourne, Australia. So you want to check it out. He will be on the program with us next week. So give us your questions. We will ask them to him on the program.
Yes, he's an awesome guy. Looking forward to talk to him. And if you haven't watched any of these matches, go to the YouTubes, look up Seven Levels of Hate.
It's on our Facebook and Twitter, facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork and twitter.com/WildTalkRadio. I put out the link earlier today.
Awesome. Yes, they're very, very good matches, and I'm looking forward to talking to him about the final match and finding out, well, how are they going to top the other six? Because, wow.
It's who will walk out NWA World Champion, if that means anything these days. But still, it's NWA World Championship. Seven Levels of Hate, you want to check it out if
yes.
You're down in Melbourne.
One man will walk out with 10 pounds of gold, another man may not walk out with a job. Just
if
saying.
Adam Pierce loses, he's probably done. So,
The stipulation is Adam Pierce loses, he's out of the NWA. So, yeah, he's essentially done.
So
go Adam Pierce, win. Anyway, as you can tell, we're really struggling for news this week.
And one other news a little bit. If you haven't seen it on WWE.com, WWE has an interview with Jerry the King Lawler from his hometown in Memphis, Tennessee, where they taped programming this week. He says he's returning soon. Jim Ross mentioned that he is working everything until at least the Raw after Hell in a Cell, and then it's all up in the air to working whatever Jerry Lawler's schedule is. So we could be seeing the King sometime in November.
Wow. And speaking of interviews, if you go to the WWE Games site, WWE.com has put it back up. It's the interview with CM Punk and Steve Austin with JR moderating. Go watch it. Please, for everything that is holy, go watch that. We watched it last night, and all I can say is I'm sitting there picturing this match potentially happening in my head, and based on the promo work they did just in that interview, I'm salivating. I want to see it. Punk and Austin have some amazing, amazing chemistry together.
You gotta remember, Lindsay, they were only talking about a video game.
I don't care. I want the match. Make it happen.
It was all about a video game. That's it. That's all it
sure.
was. That's all it was.
Sure, it was all about a video game. Uh-huh. Sure.
But the tension in that room?
Oh, God, you cut it with a knife. It was kind of epic.
It's one of those matches where it's okay. If Steve Austin's ever healthy enough, these two could cut fantastic promos and you would buy it. Take my money, buy it.
Oh, dude, Brock can attest to this. I was already saying shut up and take my money.
Yeah, she was. So it's going to be one of those things. If Austin's healthy enough, this could be a real money match, especially, and this was before Punk turned into what he is now, which would make the promos even better.
Yeah, this is before Punk went full-blown whiny bitchy heel. This is back when he was still kind of tweeter, when he had hair. And by the way, he has a tattoo on his shin, and it's kind of adorable. Even if it is a score.
So anyway, want to look ahead to SmackDown?
Yes!
So, coming up on this Friday's edition of SmackDown, check your local listings for time and availability in your area, like they always say. We're going to see some of the Anger Buddies in action.
Yay! We get Anger Buddies! Very happy!
You really can't go wrong with having the Anger Buddies on your, television. But we will also see the team of Cody Rhodes and Damian Sandow in action, as they will be taking on Tyson Kidd and Justin Gabriel.
Yes, we're going to get plenty of Miz with the Anger Buddies, as well as some Dolph Ziggler and Big Show taking on our favorite heroes. We're also going to see Randy Orton take on The Miz in a match. I think Alberto Del Rio and, of course, our favorite announcer, Ricardo Rodriguez, may make an appearance.
The United States champion, Antonio Cesaro, will be in action against the returning, I guess, Ted DiBiase.
Okay.
It's been a while since I've seen Ted DiBiase.
The last time I saw him was at one of the pay-per-views when they did a battle royal for the United States Championship.
Oh, that's right. That's when he returned. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
They technically didn't announce it or anything, but that's technically when he came back.
Yeah.
The really minimal thumb drive leader, Heath Slater, is going to take on Brodus Clay in a one-on-one match. Layla is going to face Natalya, which should actually be a pretty decent match.
Yeah. And then we have a main event that makes Lindsay go,
only if it finishes uninterrupted, damn it. I don't want any shenanigans in this match. Yes, I'm getting another shot at Sheamus versus Wade Barrett, and god damn it, there better be a decision this time. Don't make me come find you guys.
Yeah, don't make her come find you, because she will.
I will.
She will get in her car. She will hunt you down.
I have time to do that now. But yeah, so that's your SmackDown, so tune in, watch it. Should be a good show, I hope.
It looks like it will be. They've been doing some good things with SmackDown, so hopefully this is one of the ones that comes out well.
I hope so. Oh, here's some interesting news I just found. WWE supposedly didn't pay their taxes?
What? Say what? You gotta explain this now. I don't know what you're talking about.
WWE sent out the following statement on Thursday. The recent accusations and subsequent reports by Connecticut-based media that WWE was, quote-unquote, caught not paying taxes is blatantly false. Publicly traded companies often review taxes with regulatory authorities. I guess this is due to the fact that they got audited.
Oh, this is all... Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
And so they're covering it. Based on the fact that I guess they're accusing WWE of not paying their taxes or not paying enough. Basically,
it's all the yada, yada, yada bullshit.
Yeah, basically the WWE made an agreement with the state to pay approximately $500,000 annually over and above what the WWE has already paid for the years of 2005 through 2010 plus interest. Shush.
Sorry.
Video ad.
You hate those video ads. They're terrible.
But yeah, so that's definitely interesting.
Yeah, so, well, they pay their taxes now and everyone can be quiet about it, so. That's how far we're seeking. This is not much news. WWE didn't pay taxes. Woohoo! I believe it's on TMZ. You can watch. We reported a few weeks ago Sean Daivari, his incident on the train, where he choked the bitch out. There's video of it now.
Really?
There's video of it on TMZ if you want to go check it out. You can see him clearly get up out of his seat and choke a bitch out. It's kind of awesome.
Alrighty then.
So make sure you check that out on TMZ at some point. So, what's next?
Well, next is you let Mace call into the show because he can't call in.
Why can't he call in?
He says it's forwarding to the phone line.
He's not online.
Well, he says he's trying to call.
I don't see Mace online. So, Mace...
Well, he just popped up.
Maybe that's why. You think that could be why, Mace? You think that could be... think that could be why you can't get into the show. I'm calling him anyway. I don't. You weren't on my line. Oh, you weren't online for me. That's probably why I was going to the thing.
Fuck you.
Fuck you. How dare you come
fuck
on?
Fuck you. Fuck the Colt Cabana. Fuck the PCW.
Fuck you, man. Fuck you.
So really, you're not going to go to that show?
I have a lot of personal issues with the promoter.
Ah.
The fucker owes me about $300 and in damages to audio equipment that has been loaned out to him. And I tell you what, I'm going to stay away next week because the only thing I'll be saying to Adam next week would be make sure you get your money up front.
We'll talk to you about that. Yeah, told you, Lindsay. I told you, Lindsay. I told you, and he's doing it for another reason, but I told you he wouldn't be involved. Anyway, let's move on.
Fuck the Colt Cabana.
Yes. Well, I figured he would go to at least throw things at Colt Cabana, but apparently not. So, all right, well, we've got our discussion topics, and since we has a mace, we can talk about some of the other ones we kind of came up with.
Okay, whatever. It's your show.
My bad. And, of course, he goes to be right back. Well, while he's gone, let's do the, today, if you weren't aware, the PWI Top 50 Females list came out.
Yes, it is. And this ties in with our question tonight, which we'll respond to in conjunction with it. Usually wait till the end, but we'll tie it all together after we go down the list. It's an interesting list.
It is an interesting list. Coming in at number one is Gail Kim, which bravo to her for that. Making the top 10 in order is Gail Kim, Beth Phoenix, Cheerleader Melissa, Sarah Del Rey, Jessica Havoc, go Jessica, Layla, Miss Tessmacher, what the hell, Soraya Knight, Mercedes Martinez, and Tara. Natalia came in at 12, Velvet came in at 14, Mickey came in at 16, Winner and Tamina came in at 18 and 19. ODB lands at 21. Kelly lands at 23. Why is she even on this list? Portia Perez made it at 32. Why is Alicia Fox on this list? And why is she ahead of Tasha Simone? Bullshit! I call bullshit on this list! Anyway, Alicia Fox comes in at 36. Tasha Simone comes in at 37. If you don't know who she is, go to nwatr.com. She's awesome and she will kick your ass.
Notable names like former guest list is from Kayfabe. Alicia is at number 44. Members of the Midwest Militia, Sassy Stephanie, came at 41, and I saw the other one. Allison Kay is on this list somewhere at 43. So there you have it. Some AJ's not on this list,
which is interesting. Caitlin's not on the list,
but I guess because she hasn't been in the ring a lot in the last year, that could be why she's not on this list.
Probably.
I have no problems with the top five, honestly.
I don't have problems with the top five. I call bullshit on the six through ten. Why the fuck is Miss Tessmacher number 7? I really want to know the answer to this.
Yeah, that's kind of surprising that Miss Tessmacher's all the way up there.
Especially when Tara lands at 10 and Natty lands at 12.
Yeah, there's more. Some more could be above her. Kelly at Midway, that's fine with me. Same with Eve Torres. Eve Torres should be higher.
Yeah, technically she should. She should be at least in the top 20.
Yeah, I would put her in the top 20. Can't really complain about how it all shakes out, but yeah, I'm good with the top five. Mercedes could be up above Tessmacher and Layla.
Yeah. Same with Soraya Knight.
Right. Yeah, they could be moved up. So, yeah, that's my thoughts on it. Have you seen the list, Mace, of the top 50 females?
I have, and I sit here going, why the fuck isn't Jessica Havoc one of those top three? Because, you know, two-time WSU champion, currently one of the most worked females on the independent circuit right now. And yet, Gail Kim, who has done sweet fuck all year.
She was champion for a while.
Yeah, but how often does she show up on television? Not often.
Well, not lately. Not since.
Why is Beth Phoenix number two? She's been used on television probably less than 10 times in the entire fucking year.
He's got a point.
Can't disagree.
To be honest, that top 10 should be populated by nothing but independents.
Layla shouldn't be at 6 because she just came back not too long ago.
Yep.
Trying to find out what was the guidelines for it, and I can't seem to...
No, they never allow the guidelines. It's basically, they work out a top 10 or so, and then they just fill the rest
of random. I meant like the time period. They usually give a time period for when, you know, it's based on. You know what I mean?
Well, they're going back to this time last year in terms of Gail Kim, because they've mentioned when they initially announced her as number one that they were taking her title reign from October last year into account.
September, here it is. All candidates were evaluated for their accomplishments during the period of September 1st, 2011 till August 30th, 2012.
So, about 3 months where maybe, not even that, where Gail Kim was active?
She was active
I've seen her, what, four times in the whole of this year?
No, she was... She was the champion for a while. She was on TV up till June. Every week.
Yeah, she was.
It was after she got married where they pulled back on her a little bit. When she lost the title to Tessmacher. That's when they pulled back on her.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I still don't like, I reckon that the independents should have got a lot more notoriety in this list than they have.
Yeah.
Like, I'll be honest, the only reason why Sarah Del Rey is sitting at 4 is because she just got picked up as a trainer for WWE. If it was just for independent accomplishments, she probably would have been below 10.
Which is a shame.
Hmm.
Oh, Jessica seems happy with her spot on the list.
Yeah.
According to her Twitter, at least. She seems happy.
Yeah, I know, so she seems happy with it. I just reckon she should have been at least number 3, if not 2. Just given her accomplishments and the amount of press that she's been getting in the past 12 months.
Yeah, she's been early, late last year she wasn't traveling as much, but now there's more promotions for her to go to, and she's been traveling a lot more in the last 6 months, it seems. She's working more, doing more.
Yeah.
So, but this leads to what our question of the night is. Who is right now the top female of 2012? Should we go with what the fans say first?
Yeah, let's go with what the fans say first.
Alright. Gail Kim. We got a Gail Kim. We got an ODB. We got an Eve, maybe not the best in the ring, but when you consider the program with Ryder and Kane, assistant to Big Johnny, now women's champ, who had a big year. Someone goes, is AJ still a wrestler? Yes, she is. We had one for Jeff Hardy.
Well, he is pretty girly.
He does, according to Austin Aries, he has a girlish figure. We have two more for AJ. Well, we have one for Natalya, is the only one you can actually call a wrestler. Jessica Havoc got mentioned by Kane Kittens. His second place is Michelle McCool because she stayed away from the squared circle. And EY, because technically he is a knockout tag team champion and sports the most gorgeous beard on a female wrestler.
We'll play Kane Kittens, we'll play.
Get off the drugs, dude, get off the drugs.
Got another one for Eve, but yeah, that's basically it. So, what do you think, Mace? Who right now in wrestling today is the number one female of this year?
Like, you even really need to ask me? Of course, I'm going to go with J-Hav. Of course, Jess would be the number one pick. And to be honest, I'd follow it up with 90% of the WSU roster.
Yeah, you really can't go wrong with Jessica Havoc.
Yeah.
No, you can't.
From a personality standpoint, I'm going AJ.
See, AJ, I would disqualify from this list completely.
Right, but it's...
She hasn't really been wrestling. She's been a good personality.
That's why I said personality. I didn't say wrestler. I said personality. Yeah. Havoc and AJ. They're my two. They're my top two of the year. I clarified it. Don't jump down my throat.
As far as wrestling personality, female, I've got to agree. Go with AJ. Wrestler, gotta go with Jessica Havoc. And throw in Tasha Simone, just because she's been doing some awesome stuff in Nashville. And Portia Perez, because I'm a fangirl.
And of course, Rock abandons us.
He
starts a topic and then runs off.
Ah, bastard. But good responses from the fans all the way around. So
I'll be honest, like good responses from the fans, but however, the way I see it, a lot of people need to start looking outside of the WWE for wrestling.
Oh yeah.
Like believe me, like as we're pulling Jessica Havoc as our top, it just goes to show that if you want to see good female wrestlers, you have to look outside of the big two companies. You need to hit the independent scene. And it's not like these things are hard to find. YouTube, type in Jessica Havoc, you can pull up, a couple of dozen matches. You pull up WSU. WSU is constantly posting out new matches from their events. Same with Shimmer, same with Shine. They're all putting matches on YouTube quite easily and freely available to people.
Yeah.
But unless other people start saying, hey, check this out, these companies aren't getting the notoriety that they should. Neither are the wrestlers that are on there.
I think
what happens when Vince McMahon holds a monopoly on television.
Pretty much. I think a lot of it, too, is it's discounted because it's women's wrestling, and it has that stigma now where it really is a joke because of the big two companies. TNA less than WWE, but WWE has made women's wrestling into the piss break match where nobody cares. I mean, I remember 10 years ago in the WWE where they had a great women's division. And now it's just a
division. You mean like three people?
Yeah, but they had female wrestlers. You had your Jackies, your Ivories, your Trishes, your Alitas. Mickie James came when she came in. You had girls that could work. You had your pretty ones, your models that were valets, but you had the girls that could work and could kick ass. And WWE and TNA really don't have that anymore. WWE especially. So, I mean, I agree, if you want good women's wrestling, go to the indies. Go to YouTube. But I wish women's wrestling would get the respect it deserves. Because there are some phenomenal talents out there, and it makes me sad to think they're never going to get any further than they are.
Yeah. I definitely agree with that. Mind you, you can also see some absolutely piss-poor performances like I did this past weekend. But, I'm sorry, I watched two girls put on a show, and I'm like, I know this is only an exhibition thing, guys, but put some fucking effort in. And the thing was, one of them was this girl from the UK called Amazon. I swear to God, I reckon the girl had just come out of training. She was that bad.
Ooh.
Yeah. But that's just me. I'm a harsh judge.
You are.
But you have discriminating tastes.
Indeed.
But on that note, why don't we play a little What If?
What
if? And this is kind of stemming from a conversation that we had where we were basically talking about Batista's disastrous MMA debut. And I kind of had a thought, and I'm sure we've talked about this before, but what if WWE and one of the MMA promotions, whether it be UFC, Bellator leaves TNA, and we're kind of seeing this with Bellator and TNA, or Strikeforce, I don't think they're in business anymore. But basically, if WWE and UFC merged and made one product, what would happen? What would we see?
A gigantic clusterfuck. And a lot of people walking away. Because you're talking about two completely different fan bases here. Like, a lot of UFC fans will not touch pro wrestling at all.
Right.
So you're going to see a large section of the UFC fan base walk away from the television shows, the live events, and all that stuff. MMA guys are not wrestlers. Neither are wrestlers MMA guys. So you're going to have two completely different styles, and there's going to be no real way to sort of make them mesh, to make them uniform into one thing that can be put on. So you're going to end up with a gigantic clusterfuck. If you do like half a show of wrestling, then half a show of MMA, people aren't going to sort of work with it. They're not going to latch on to they're not going to latch on to the MMA guys because they're not characters. And the MMA crowd's not going to latch on the wrestlers because they're too much of a character. So, yeah, it's probably one of the... It's something that would destroy both companies, to be honest. And I'm done.
And you're done? Rock?
I'm going to move away from WWE and UFC. TNA and Bellator is going to be it's going to be your real first mix of both, because you're going to have a guy doing both, and it'll be really interesting to see what kind of reaction from the MMA fans this gets when you have a guy doing TNA wrestling and then going into real fighting in King Mo. It will be your first real test to see what happens when those two worlds really collide for the first time. Because if he starts winning, there will be those people out there that will go, that's fixed. And it could hurt whatever Bellator is trying to establish with their relaunch or whatever this thing is with Spike. It'll be really interesting to see what happens when it comes, it's an actual real situation. Because it will be. We're going to get MMA crossover with wrestling. If they actually fully combined, I would be a train wreck. It wouldn't work for anyone, like Mace was saying. It just really wouldn't work. The fan bases are totally different.
Do you think MMA could maybe add a much needed dose of reality to wrestling that in some cases it's sorely needed? Like, it would take them maybe out of fantasy land just a little bit and bring it down to earth in some cases. Because, I mean, obviously in MMA, guy gets punched, guy falls down, or he gets knocked out, or he gets hurt in some capacity. In wrestling, guy gets hurt, especially if he's John Cena, he pops right back up.
Right. That's tricky. What UFC can't get three words, bra for all. That's something we don't talk about anymore. That was bad. Because I had Bark Gun getting knocked out by Butterbean. That was bad for everybody. Oh, if you ever seen this Brawl for All stuff, that was TV for you. That was some interesting TV. But I don't know. The one thing, there are elements from MMA WWE could use, same with wrestling, MMA could use from pro wrestling. Big, more spectacular entrances, more more personalities. That's the one thing if those two companies merge was, is you get more of their personalities to shine. That's one thing a lot of the fighters miss. You don't get to see who they are. They've started to do it with, they used to do it with those UFC specials on Spike. I guess it was UFC Unleashed or something. I don't remember the name of it. But you got to see who they are. That's one thing you don't see. And it's why some people go, there are events where you go, oh, who's this guy and who's this guy beating each other up? You don't know who the fighters are. That's one thing where if the worlds collided and came together, that's where the wrestling presentation would help MMA.
Okay. Mace? Anything?
Not really. Like, I understand where Rock's going with it. Like, more personality, more getting to know the fighter, you know, a bit more flash and pizzazz. But that's not what sells the product. The product is sold on the fights alone. You know, take a look at boxing. Boxing started out the same way, you know, low on character, low on entrances, and they played on the fights. Then in the 90s, when you had the guys like Mike Tyson that coming out, and, you know, all of a sudden it was all character, it was all this personality and everything, and people walked away in droves. So you're walking a very fine line of what you do with such a concept. You know, do you put more of a personality over and risk losing those that come to see the fights, or do you leave it as is and sort of put more realism into wrestling, at which point you lose the theatrics and Vince McMahon would be hard to fill a 3-hour time slot.
Well, kind of does that already. Can't fill it. Anyway.
Pretty yeah. much.
So yeah,
and that's what she said. Sorry. Sorry.
It's a tricky subject. It really is.
It's kind of one of those things that it's an intriguing what if, and it's, we're going to see it with TNA and Bellator, how far they go. We don't know. But, you know, obviously with Batista crossing over into MMA with Brock Lesnar, who crossed over and has crossed back, Indian Giver. It's kind of an intriguing concept because you have King Mo going into TNA and doing Bellator, and then obviously you have the crossover. So it was just kind of something that made me go, huh. What would happen if?
Right.
And I do agree. It would be a clusterfuck, ultimately, because they're two different genres. It's just not going to happen. Because everybody knows wrestling is fixed. And there's no way, even if you show that there's, even if you find some way to prove that the match isn't fixed, it's still going to be accused of being fixed.
But by the way, you brought out a great point with Brock Lesnar. You look at his first entrance in the UFC, how heavily did this guy get booed when he walked in the company?
Oh, you know, tremendous.
Fans didn't like him. He's a wrestler. We don't want those fake bastards in our company. And all of a sudden, you know, when he wins, he's jumping up on the fencing and telling people to go fuck themselves and, you know, screw this sponsor and, you know, I drink this. And, you know, he's playing the character, trying to get a bit more hype for himself. And the reaction was so negative that it almost cost me his job. Yet at the same time, he was such a legitimate threat once people stopped viewing him as just a wrestler, as one of these WWE fake guys, and started taking him serious as a fighter.
He became
so there are ways to be crossovers. But you got to be careful.
Yeah, you were careful, and at that point, he became one of their biggest draws ever.
But you could also say Brock was a one-time thing. I mean, there's no way to know whether King Mo is going to work out, or obviously Batista's not going to work out unless he was just fighting shit for show. Because, yeah, he's really not that good of a actual fighter. Which kind of surprised me, actually, but we're not going to get into that again.
Okay.
I don't need to rant on that twice in 2 weeks. Let's see. Wouldn't it be good to ask Mace the Max in questions, would it?
No, I don't think it would be. So, yeah, let's do this. Let's ask Mace the Maxine questions. So what was it like to work in NXT, Mace?
So anyway, our third and final, well, maybe final, depends on how long it goes.
Yeah, final.
Is it a good thing that talent are getting involved with the creative process again? This is stemming from an interview that Kane gave to the Knoxville paper last week, where he was talking about how he's getting more involved with creative, which makes a lot of sense in the fact for the Any Your Buddy storyline, for the storyline that he ran over the summer with Punk. You also hear about Punk writing his own stuff, and so... I mean, obviously, is it a good thing that talent are showing an interest in the creative process, especially when it's just kind of been meh? Or should it just be left up to the juggernaut that is creative?
It's a bad thing that wrestlers have control. That they should never have control of what they say, what they do, their characters. They should never have any sort of control whatsoever. It's a bad thing.
Are you just trying to make Mace go off?
Yes. No, it's really, it's an awesome thing that wrestlers get more involved. It's who else knows themselves better than themselves? They should be have input all the time.
I would have to agree. It's just that genuine factor that gets involved.
And it's better when they're not doing the same things they're normally doing, which is the good point about what's happening, especially with Kane.
Yeah.
He's doing things different than he's ever done before, and he's the one involved doing it.
Yeah, he's actually going to them and saying, this is, you know, I want to do this, I want to do this, and he's recognizing that he can't do the same things that he did before, and he's got to change.
Alright, Mick Foley told an interesting little quote about his conversation with Kane, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Yeah. He basically said, Kane told me that he needed to find a way to tweak his character a little bit and to make it different from, you know, back in the Attitude Era. And when I saw him a few weeks ago, I told him, you are my hero, he laughed, and said, no, I've become you. Here's a guy who realized he could no longer do the stuff he was known for back then, so he brought some levity and laughs to his character. Kind of think that's kind of a good way to put it. He's changed, and it's different.
Oh, it is definitely. Now the question is: could this be the fix for some of creative's problem? Is allowing the wrestlers more control over their characters, over what they say, over what they do?
It's one thing to let wrestlers run roughshod over what they do. It's another thing to allow them input. If you go and say, okay, we are having the storyline's going to go like this, and you explain the storyline, if the wrestlers turn around and say, okay, what if I do this here, that there, and we do this here? That's fine. If they suddenly come up and go, oh, I don't like the storyline, I want to take it this direction, or if they come up and go, I don't like that promo, I'm going to scrap it and say this, that, and the other, and everything, then you start running that control line that's really a lot of the guys don't see.
Right.
Like they always, the one thing that I've always held true, and this has been said so many times with so many of the greats, is the best gimmick and the best character is yourself turned up to 11. It's taking your own personal experience, because nobody knows your character like you do.
Right.
You come up with it. You come up with how they talk, how they walk, what moves they use. So, of course, in terms of promos, to add or subtract is fine, not completely rewrite.
And here, and you do realize that a wrestler has never had a bad idea for themselves.
Yeah, they have.
No, in their mind, they've never had a bad idea. If you think about it, no wrestler's had a bad idea in their head. When they pitch it, it's a good idea. That's not always true. That's why you need the filter. That's why the creative works, where it's like, okay, that's not good. you might think it is, but not.
Well, I mean, there's an example where Brodus Clay gave an interview about talking about the origins of the Funkasaurus. And he was talking to the writers, and they originally came up with a name for him of, like, Heavy G or something like that. And he didn't like the name, and so he was talking to the writer, and he said, well, what if we come up with something else? You know, he and another guy came up with the name of Funkasaurus, and so when he had the meeting with creative, he said, well, I really don't like the name Heavy, whatever, I don't want to be called that. And the writer told him, I've got 12 other things I have to do, I don't care what you call yourself.
Interesting.
So maybe that could help in the sense of maybe some of the, just relieve the strain on creative, because it could be they're just, as we pointed out last week, they're doing too fucking much.
Right, they are, and input is always good. They should always have input in things they do, because if they don't believe it, it's not going to come off as believable.
Right.
And we've seen that for years. You could tell when people believe in stuff they're doing and when they don't.
Yeah, and so maybe that could help, but I don't know.
It's something we shall see. See if it's a good thing. So far, Kane having input has been entertaining, because, quite frankly, that's some of the best parts of Monday Night Raw.
Well, another thing that could help is if you bring guys like Kane that understand the business into a creative sense. Put people with wrestling knowledge in a creative position, what would happen?
Nah. Never.
Because, I mean, I don't mind the TV writers, but if they could just, it's like if you have a, it would make sense to have a wrestler or somebody with wrestling knowledge working with a TV writer to help the book. It's like the writers, TV writers come up with the ideas, and then the wrestling writers translate them into matches and that kind of thing to help build the storyline.
Right.
Just to help it make sense, but then again, they don't believe in logic.
No, they don't.
So, any other thoughts before we move on?
No, I'm good.
I'm good.
Okay. Well, I think that's it for the night, unless anybody has any gripes.
Honestly, I don't have any gripes this week. I'm pretty zen this week. I'm pretty calm.
Mace?
I've got gripes, but they're not ones I can really go into here.
They're more for your Tumblr.
Yeah, to a degree, but it's just that people won't understand the context, so there's no point to going in it on this show, especially with a bunch of Americans listening. Australians will understand, but Americans won't, so...
Gee,
oh,
love you too.
Yeah, seriously, dude. Like,
it's one of these things. Difference in the. I'll explain afterwards.
Okay,
thank you both. Fuck you all.
And fuck the Colt Cabana.
Damn right.
Anything you would have griping, Lindsay?
Just stupid drivers, stupid school stuff, stupid people. Fuck you all. By the way, to the lady that was in front of me in Hobby Lobby earlier, do us all a favor. If you're going to fucking download a phone app, don't do it while you're at the cash register. And then don't know how to use it and you have to get the cashier to help you. I stood there for 10 minutes.
That's just not kosher.
Seriously, people, I don't mind you taking your time, but if you're going to take up that much time, that we're going to have an issue. And it's not about the store opening up another register either. It's about you need to recognize that you're making other people wait. So yeah, that's my only gripe. But on that note,
can I give out a piece of advice?
Yes.
It doesn't matter if you're German, Australian, American, or whatever. If your pool is frozen over, don't try to jump into it. Because not only will you look like an idiot, you'll probably hurt something. And now nobody has a clue why I just said that.
I have a clue why you just said that. I know exactly why you just said that. We're going to have to put a link up for the show, but yeah. Don't do it, folks. Don't jump onto anything frozen. It's going to end badly.
The recent video that's gone viral around YouTube is a guy from Germany trying to jump into his pool, which is frozen over on top, thinking it'll be hilarious. Yeah, he probably broke his tailbone or something when he landed, because ice is solid.
People are so smart.
Genius!
I tell you, they're so smart.
I'm just sitting here shaking my head. But on that note, Mace, plug your stuffages.
Yes. Alright, follow me on Twitter at TheMaceSing. If you can, you can try and add me to Facebook. Try and find me if you can. That's half the challenge.
Is it really a challenge? Is it really
it is half the challenge. You know, you gotta find me first before you can add me, and then if you add me, then you gotta get past my very intense screening process of several interviews, background checks, and at least a police profile.
Unless you're female, and then just flash them your boobs and you're good.
Yeah.
That also works. I also have a Tumblr of some description. I do post shit to it every now and again. MaceRDN.tumblr.com. Go read my stuff. Believe it or not, I actually put up an article about a geek video game speed dating night that seems to be floating around the internet quite quickly, which I'm quite proud of, and anything else is me being an emo bitch. Other than that, listen to the shows I'm on. I'm supposedly going to be on a few this week.
Yeah, you are.
Like what, Rock?
Like, first, you're not going to be on tomorrow night, which is Janet Cashmere's Wake Up Call at 9 p.m. Eastern. He has, let's see. Who does he have on? Author and expert of Stonehenge and the Hoppy Creation Story, Thomas O. Mills. Live, 9 p.m. Eastern on JK's Wake Up Call. Live here on the Mall Talk Radio Network tomorrow night. Saturday night, midnight-ish. It's CB Radio. I think we're doing a little show called the 250th episode, and I think a lot of people are going to be on the show. I know Lindsay's going to be there. I think Mace is going to be there. Omega's going to be there. Will says he's going to stop by. Hopefully, Subway will be there. Rob will be there. You never know who else will be on the show. Spug may show up. We're going to play a game. And we're starting at midnight.
Evil apples to apples.
Yeah, it's playing evil apples
and
to apples.
And it is fucking evil. We're all going to hell.
Yeah, and we're bringing in Spug to hopefully play with us. And
like we weren't already?
So, you're going to want to check that out. So we're starting at midnight. Maybe midnight at 1, but we're starting right around midnight. Not like later in the hour. We're starting on time. Making that clear. Gotta be on time. Sunday,
the one and only time CB Radio will start at midnight.
Because there's so much to do, so many people, I gotta fit them all in. I'm working around people's schedules. Getting them in.
It's called a 5-hour show, dude.
Yeah, but anyway. Sunday night, Russell Talk Radio. 5 hours, yeah, we'll see about that one. Russell Talk Radio, 10 p.m. Eastern. Whatever Tim comes up with, they'll be talking about. Monday nights are all posted at 11:30 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we discuss 3 hours of Raw in 45 minutes. That's kind of the hook now. See how fast we can get through 3 hours. Tuesday night, it's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio on the program. Alan's favorite MF-er, Matt Hardy, will be on the show, along with King, Shane Williams. Wednesday night, just another goddamn wrestling show. You heard the ad on the show. You heard the ad tonight. BS 2012. Hashtags rule the world. So check them out. Wednesdays, 8:30 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back next Thursday night for another edition of The Rack with Scrap Iron, Adam Pierce, to talk about all things NWA World Title. Follow us on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio and Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. New riffs coming. We recorded a bunch more, so they're coming. Maybe tomorrow. We'll see.
Yay! Are you good?
WTR Productions. I'm good.
Follow me on Twitter at Lins Ward, LINSWARD. You can go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. If you want me to make you one, please send me an email by clicking the email link. Go to CassidyRiley.net. Buy his shirts. He has limited quantities left. Please, buy, 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 buy. And, of course, you can go to my DeviantArt, linsward.deviantart.com, and check out all my pretty, pretty artwork. And you can follow the show at WTR_rack. However, you're going to have to send me a message if you do, because I'm going to don't really check the account that much. But on that note, tune into the show next week for Adam Pierce. Tell your friends, keep listening, and listen to all the other fine programming on this network, because we do work hard. And visit our sponsors, pwmania.com, for all the news, and Tweaked Audio for some awesome headphones. Remember, if you put in the promo code WILDTALK, you're going to get about $7 off. You can get them, some of them cheaper than you can get them at Target. Just saying. But for Mace and for Rock, I'd like to send a big thanks out to Maxine and to her PR guy, who sadly I don't have his name, but thank you very much for her. And we are out for the night. Bye.